William Collins presents A Problem from Hell, America and the Age of Genocide by Samantha Power. Read by Laurel Lefko. Chapter 1. Race Murder. Trial by Fire. On March 14, 1921, on a damp day in the Charlottenburg district of Berlin, a 24-year-old Armenian crept up behind a man in a heavy gray overcoat swinging his cane. The Armenian, Sobhaman Taylerian, placed a revolver at the back of the man's head and pulled the trigger, shouting, "This is to avenge the death of my family." The burly target crumpled. If you had heard the shot and spotted the rage distorting the face of the young offender, you might have suspected that you were witnessing a murder to avenge a very different kind of crime. But back then, you would not have known to call the crime in question genocide. The word did not yet exist. Taylerian, the Armenian assassin, was quickly tackled. As pedestrians beat him with their fists and house keys, he shouted in broken German, "I foreigner! He foreigner! This not hurt Germany! It's nothing to do with you." It was national justice carried out in an international setting. Taylerian had just murdered Mehmed Talat, the former Turkish interior minister who had set out to rid Turkey of its Armenian problem. In 1915, Talat had presided over the killing by firing squad, bayoneting, bludgeoning, and starvation of nearly 1 million Armenians. The outside world had known that the Armenians were at grave risk well before Talat and the Young Turk leadership ordered their deportation. When Turkey entered World War I on the side of Germany against Britain, France, and Russia, Talat made it clear that the empire would target its Christian subjects. In January 1915, in remarks reported by the New York Times, Talat said that there was no room for Christians in Turkey and that their supporters should advise them to clear out. By late March, Turkey had begun disarming Armenian men serving in the Ottoman army. On April 25, 1915, the day the Allies invaded Turkey, Talat ordered the roundup and execution of some 250 leading Armenian intellectuals in Constantinople. In each of Turkey's six eastern provinces, local Armenian notables met roughly the same fate. Armenian men in rural areas were initially enlisted as pack animals to transport Turkish supplies to the front, but soon even this was deemed too dignified an existence for the traitorous Christians. Churches were desecrated, Armenian schools were closed, and those teachers who refused to convert to Islam were killed. All over Anatolia, the authorities posted deportation orders requiring the Armenians to relocate to camps prepared in the deserts of Syria. In fact, the Turkish authorities knew that no facilities had been prepared, and more than half of the deported Armenians died on the way. By continuing the deportation of the orphans to their destinations during the intense cold, Talat wrote, we are ensuring their eternal rest. Official proclamations, like this one from June 1915, cropped up around town. Our Armenian fellow countrymen, because they have attempted to destroy the peace and security of the Ottoman state, have to be sent away to places which have been prepared in the interior. And a literal obedience to the following orders, in a categorical manner, is accordingly enjoined upon all Ottomans. 1. With the exception of the sick, all Armenians are obliged to leave within 5 days from the date of this proclamation. 2. Although they are free to carry with them on their journey the articles of their movable property which they desire, they are forbidden to sell their land and their extra effects or to leave them here and there with other people. The Young Turks, Talat, Enver Pasha, the Minister of War, and Jamal Pasha, the Minister of Public Works, justified the wholesale deportation of the Armenians by claiming that it was necessary to suppress Armenian revolts. When Russia had declared war on Turkey the previous
Sample complete. Ready to continue?